Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Pei Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins two lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. Note, we're beginning from the second line from the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Beis. We left off our previous shiur in the middle of a discussion. We presented the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan regarding a woman who had vowed not to eat two loaves, and with the abstention of eating one of the two loaves, namely not eating either loaf, she would experience inui. So Rabbi Yochanan said, with regard to one loaf, the husband's annulment of her vow will have an effect. However, she remains prohibited in eating the second loaf. As far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, the second loaf does not present a problem of inui, and therefore the husband cannot annul it. The triangle that you see introduces, as we explain on the side of the Gemara, kushyos al Rabbi Yochanan. We're going to challenge Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. Eisvei. A woman who had taken upon herself the nazir vow. Being a nazir prohibits a person from drinking wine, grape products, and also from defiling oneself to the dead. We continue at the top of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Arezu Soifeges Esar Boyim. A woman like that who had accepted upon herself Nazirus and violates it, so she is subject to the penalty of being lashed, the 40 lashes, which is the punishment for violating a negative command in the Torah. We say 40 lashes, technically speaking, is 39 lashes, but the number 40 is found in the Torah, and hence it's referred to as the 40 lashes. Hofer lo baylo, vi lo yodashe hofer lo. A woman who had vowed, as we said, to become a Nazira, and the husband in the meantime had annulled the vow, but she didn't realize that he annulled it. And she went ahead and drank wine and defiled herself to the dead. She is exempt from the punishment of lashing. The E Amris, if you're going to accept Rabbi Yochanan's approach to annulment, namely Mefer L'Misana Vein Mefer L'Shein Misana, that when a husband, let's say you have several aspects or parts or details to a vow, and that the husband's realm of annulment concerns only that which would otherwise lead to her feeling of suffering and deprivation, only that aspect of her vow the husband can annul. Dilma, it might very well be then, if you follow that logic, min yayin is lo tzara hofer lo, from actual wine, the abstention of from which would lead to a person suffering, feeling deprivation. So that is the aspect of the Nazirus that the husband annulled. Min chartzen u min zag. The chartzen and zag are grape seeds, grape peels, which are forbidden to a Nazir. Lo hofer lo. That the husband didn't or even couldn't annul. Deholo is lo tsara. She doesn't have pain from abstention from chartzen and zag. V'tispog es harboyim, let her be subject to the lashes based on her continued consumption of the chartzen and zag. It's true she continued drinking the wine, but that wouldn't lead to her lashes because of the husband's annulment. But the other aspects of Nazira's prohibition, which she continued to violate. Why does the source say she doesn't get any punishment? The Ran, which we'll look at together, you'll find in the first of the narrow lines, V'tisbegis Raboim, V'im Isa Dehochihu, if Rabbi Yochanan's teaching is to be accepted, Havile L'tana Shminan Hach Rabusa, the Tana should have taught this additional Chiddush, Da'afilu Hofer Lo Baila Soifeges, Da'afilu Bezag V'chartzon, that even if the husband did annul the vow, she is still liable to the lashing punishment for eating even the zag and chartzon. And yet the Tana doesn't teach that. So it would seem that when the husband annuls, he annuls across the boards everything, whether it be the inui aspect or even the non-inui aspect. Omar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef comes to the defense of Shmuel's of Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, and says that in this case, the question is raised from Nazirus, so this is a unique situation. Ein Nazirus L'chatzoyin. We take a look at the Rosh commentary, the fourth of the wide lines in the Rosh commentary, Ein Nazirus L'chatzoyin. That means that the Nazirus does not exist in halves or in portions. Kishom Harini Nazira, when she accepted upon herself Nazirus status, Chalolel called din Nazirus. She is then bound to all aspects of Nazirus. Kshomar Muferlichi, when the husband annuls it, Mufra Kol, everything falls away. Everything is annulled. V'lo domi l'nodru mishtei kikros. It's not parallel. The case of Nazirus is not parallel to the original teaching of Rabbi Yochanan, which concerned the two loaves, the kishnei nedarim domu. The two loaves are viewed or can be viewed as two separate vows. As you can see in our marked Gemara, and by the way, if you don't have access to a marked Gemara, by all means, you can gain access by contacting us at gmarkings@gmail.com. You notice a long bracketed section. On the side, we have a note which reads, Achrei HaSagrayim, after the bracketed section, HaGemara Chozeres L'Hakshus Al Dinei Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara continues with a question on Rabbi Yochanan. B'Soch HaSagrayim, Abaye Makshe Al Divrei Rav Yosef. Within the brackets, you'll see that Abaye raises a question on Rav Yosef. So that having been said, hopefully the structure is quite clear. And now we go into the bracketed section. Omar Le Abaye. Ha Korban L'chatzi Nazirus Ika. You see, Rav Yosef said there's no Nazirus L'chatzoyen. Part of the laws of Nazirus include the bringing of sacrifices upon the conclusion of the Nazirus period. Your basic Nazirus is a 30-day vow, 30 days during which a person abstains from wine or grapevine products and defilement to the dead. At the conclusion of that, a person brings a series of sacrifices. He brings an Ola, a Korban, a Shlomim, and a Chatas. From what Rav Yosef says, that Ein Nazirus L'chatzoyen, it gives rise to Abaye inferring something that is not true. And we look at the Ran commentary right across from here. Omer le'Abaye, ha korban l'chatzi Nazirus Ika, b'tmiha. In wonderment, we read this. Midika Omar Ein Nazirus L'chatzoyen, from the fact that Rav Yosef said that Ein Nazirus L'chatzoyen, V'lo ka'omar ein chatzoyen b'nazirus. Again, the very fine difference in expression makes all the difference in the world. He didn't say ein chatzoyen b'nazirus. Mashma, Debezirus atzmoi hu delekel chatzoyin, that with regard to the basic vow of Nazirus, so it doesn't appear in parts, ha yesh korban lechatzi Nazirus. But sacrifice bringing can be done for a half Nazirus period. Kagon, shenodra, a woman, imagine, had vowed to be a Naziru Monsa Tezvav Yoim, and she counted 15 of the 30 days. For Hofer Lo Baila, and the husband then annulled it. The Nimsa Mevatil Tezvav Yoim HaBoyim, the result of that would be that the following 15, or the concluding 15 days, would be annulled. Avot Tezvav Yom Shemonsa Kvar Lo Nekru, but the 15 days that she observed already are not obliterated, are not uprooted. The Kaimelon Berg Misha Maharini Nozir, the Baal Megiz Gaiz, as we teach in Maseches Nozir, in the chapter known as Misha Maharini Nozir, that's the name of the chapter, that a husband, when he annuls, he's Megiz Gaiz. This is a topic we've seen in our Masecht as well. The husband cuts in half. Umakme Abai Hech Tovi Korban Al Mixas Minyan, and being that the husband's form of annulment is Megiz Gaiz, to cut in half, that would then leave us to think, based on the way Rav Yosef presented the matter, that after 15 days of Nazirus, followed by a husband annulment, she would bring sacrifices. So could that possibly be? And we say no, of course not. So Ella Omar Abaye. Notice the house marking that all of a sudden appeared on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh, the structural note we indicate. This is a makav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth style of Gemara. The house point up, point facing upwards represents Dino Shel Abaye, and the inverted house will be a challenge, a question. So Elo Omar Abaye, we continue with the Gemara, we also call him number two, following Rav Yosef, who was number one. Ein Nazirus Lechatzoyin Vein Korban Lechatzoyin. He clarifies the point and says that there isn't a concept of Nazirus Lechatzoyin, and that had ramifications for the husband annulment. If he annuls the Nazirus, not only those aspects of Nazirus that are Inui Nefesh related, but all aspects of Nazirus are annulled. And likewise, there's no sacrifice brought, or sacrifices brought, for the observance of half a Nazirus. Mesve. A question. Notice it's a long question. Ha'isha Shenodra Benazir, the Frisha Behemta, a woman had vowed to observe Nazirus, and she set aside Behemta, her animals. The Achakach Hofer Lo Baila, and afterwards the husband annulled the vow. Mevia Chata Sa'if, Eino Mevia Oila Sa'if. The woman brings a bird sin offering, but does not bring the bird Ola offering. The Ran gives more background to the Gemara than what we actually see in the Gemara text. So let us look at the Ran. You'll see on the first line of the Ran commentary under the Gemara text, Meisvei, O'isha Shenodra Benozir V'frisha Behemta, Klomar. This means to say, Shenitmeis Kvar Kodim HaFreshosa Shel Behema. We're talking about a woman who had accepted Nazirus, and before she set aside the animal sacrifices, she became Tameo. She became defiled. Defiled to the dead. The Keva Dekotoni Mevil Chatasoif Meilu Mashma Dinitmo, since the source teaches that she brings a bird sin offering, that indicates clearly that you're dealing with a situation of tuma. She'ein nozir may be chatasof ela iske tuma. You won't find a nozir bringing a bird sin offering unless you're dealing with a case of nozir defilement. The reference to the setting aside of an animal, hainu le'osham, that is a reference to the cow guilt offering. She'ein nozir tomi may be behema le'osham. That is part of the rules of a nazir that became defiled. He brings an animal, a cow, guilt offering. And the source is revealing to us a chiddush, a novel point. Even though she set aside an actual animal for a guilt offering before the husband's annulment, Oyla Sa'if, nevertheless, she doesn't bring the other sacrifice that she would have been expected to bring as a defiled nazir, namely the bird Ola offering, Misha Hafer La, once the husband annulled the vow. Viamris, if you're going to say Ein Korban Lechatzi Nazirus Shemonsa Kvar, if as Abaye said that when there is a Nazirus annulment, there is no bringing of sacrifices for any observed Nazirus prior to the annulment, Shekema Shalishlimo Minyan Shalem, since she didn't complete the full Nazirus, Afma Shemonsa Lo Choshiv Velo Mikri Nazirus, even those days that she had counted toward the Nazirus are not of any significance. It's not even called Nazirus. In Kena Maimaviyachatasoif Al Tuma Shira Lo, why then does the source teach that she brings a bird sin offering? Vaha Lo Mikri Nazirus Klal. What has happened here after the husband annuls the Nazirus halfway into the Nazirus observing, it's not considered Nazirus. With all that having been said, we continue back in the Gemara text, right after the framed source. V'yamris ein korban l'chatzi nazirus. If you're going to say, like Abaye, that korbanos are not brought for partial nazirus, amai mevia chatasof, why does she bring the bird sin offering? V'elomai, so what do you want to say? In Abaye response, so according to the tone of your question, what do you want to say? Yesh korban l'chatzi nazirus, that korbanos are, yes, brought for partial nazirus observing? Well, shalosh behemas bayal esuye, a person who observes nazirus, the conclusion of which results in the bringing of three animals, chatas oylu shlomim. Let me read that again. Sholosh behemos boi lasiye. She has to bring three animals. Chatas oil and shlomim. That's what is brought after the conclusion of a properly observed nazirus. True, we mentioned in passing, we mentioned the concept of a nazir that had become defiled, but the point is that if partial nazirus, as the questioner indicated, results in the bringing of sacrifices, so then the source should have indicated that at the conclusion of a partial nazirus, which is followed by the husband's annulment, nevertheless the nazir brings three sacrifices. And yet the source doesn't say that. Eloliolam ein korban lechatzi nazirus. Rather, it's like Abaye taught. There is no such thing as a korban brought after partial nazirus observance. The chatas oif de masya, the reference to the bringing of a bird sin offering, that is different. That is something unique to this kind of korban, the bird sin offering. Mishum de chatas al hasafik. And here the Ran elaborates. We look at the Ran together, three lines from the bottom. Mishum de chatas oif asya al hasafik. In general, let me say, you don't bring sacrifices when you have an issue of doubt. The reason for that is because if the sacrifice is not necessary, then you're involved with a sin known as chulin bazara, bringing the mundane into the temple courtyard. The exception to this idea is the chatas ha'of sacrifice. The kevan dekiu kulehai tala sofek nami bo, since the sin bird offering has this leniency that it can be brought even under circumstances of suffix of doubt, nami bo the ain on echelus, and of course it's not eaten because maybe it's an unnecessary korban and you can't eat the chatasof if it wasn't actually brought as such. Asyon nami lechatzi nazirus, and this is the main point. That's why you see this dashed underline in the Ran, since the chatasof represents an area of sacrifice leniency, will tell the person, in this case the woman that observed a partial nazirus, bring a chatasof. But in general, the idea of a chatzi nazirus resulting in a standard nazir korban obligation, that doesn't exist as in accordance with Abaye's teaching. Esvei. No, again, you see a triangle. The question is raised against Rabbi Yochanan, who, with regard to the woman who vowed not to eat two loaves, limited the husband's annulment powers to only one of the loaves, leaving the other loaf forbidden to the woman. Esvei, ha'isha shenodra ben nazir v'nitmeis, a woman who had accepted nazirus and became defiled, v'achaka chofer lo baila, and afterwards the husband annulled the vow. She brings a bird sin offering, but not a bird ola offering. If you're going to accept Rabbi Yochanan's teaching that a husband's annulment affects only the inui aspect of the vow, but doesn't affect, the annulment is ineffective with regard to the non-inui aspect, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Dilma miyayin diis lot sara hoferla. Maybe, with regard to the wine abstention, that is what the husband annulled. Mitumas meis, the less lot sara, lo hoferla. But with regard to the area concerning defilement, where the thinking is there's no element of tsar, the husband's annulment doesn't cover that aspect. And as a result of her actually defiling herself, she should bring an olas ha'ov, as well as the chatas ha'ov. And from the fact that she doesn't bring it, that would indicate that when the husband annuls, he annuls all aspects, including the non-inui aspect, and that's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers very simply. The assumption in the question is wrong. Notice the answer takes a few lines to develop. Amri tumas meis nami is lo tzara. The topic of defilement to the dead also carries with it an element of tzar, of pain. What do we mean by that? Well, first of all, the fact that we're categorizing the topic of tumas meis as tzara, therefore the husband certainly, his annulment will certainly cover that as well. Now, what do we mean that there's an element of pain with regard to the abstention from defilement to the dead? Now, defilement to the dead, generally speaking, means participating in funerals. Diftiv. There's a pasuk that says in Kehelis, v'achayitein eliboy, the living should take to heart. V'tanya ha'oy Rabbi Meir Omer, my diftiv v'achayitein eliboy. What is Kehelis instructing when he says that the living should take things to heart? The yispoid yispedun lei. Someone who practices eulogizing others, he will merit himself at the end of his life to be eulogized. The yivkun, yivkun lei. One who cries over the death of others, he himself will benefit by having others cry over his death. Dikbar, yikburune. One who buries others will merit having others bury him. So that the woman who had vowed to observe the rules of Nazirus, included in that is abstention from participating in funerals. Well, that abstention will then lead to her ultimately losing out, as we saw in this Tanaic source. And therefore, Tumas Meis is also categorized as tsar, and therefore the husband's annulment powers cover it as well. However, just to review the main point, however, a woman who had vowed to abstain from two loaves, the husband's annulment will enable her to eat one of the two loaves because that represented tsar, but not the second loaf after she's already achieved a sense of satisfaction having eaten the first loaf. And as you can see, we have a new Mishnah. Koinom shani nene labrios. A woman vows that whatever she benefits from others shall be prohibited to her. That whatever she would stand to benefit from others, she is vowing not to experience. Einu yochol lahafer. So a woman who says koinim shani nen and libriyos, the husband cannot annul that. V'yocholo hi lehenos beleket shicha ubepeya. Now, why is this not inui nefesh? If she's vowing not to benefit from all people, the answer to that is because she has a source of benefit, namely the tithes that are left to the poor from the harvest. Those tithes are referred to here as leket, shikha, and peya. Each one is distinct, but it's beyond the purview of our shiur today to get into those distinctions. But for our purposes, these tithes that a person leaves in the field are hefker. They're unowned. Therefore, they're not considered from people. And therefore, the benefit that she gets from the leket shikha peya would not be a violation of her vow. Her vow was not to benefit from people, from things that people own. Leket shikha peya is hefker, it's unowned. Therefore, she has a means of sustenance, and therefore, once again, let's remind you, and you see this in the Mefarshim over here, these Mishnayos are in accordance with Reb Yossi, who has a very restrictive approach to what is considered inui nefesh. This is not considered inui nefesh. I would like to point out that the way we presented this section of the Mishnah is something that the Gemara itself will investigate. So we have to leave a certain level of open-mindedness with regard to the approach to the Mishnah. We continue. Kainim kohanim levim nanim li. A woman vows that the kohanim and levim shall not be allowed to benefit from her. Yitlu al korchoi. We mentioned a woman, it could be a man as well. A man vowed that kohanim and levim shall not benefit from them. They have a right to take their tithes. Kohanim received the Truma tithe, Levim received the Maaser Rishon tithe, they take against his will. Kohanim Elu, Levim Elu namely, if a person specified Kohanim and Levim that he does not want to benefit from him, Yitlu Achirim, so others are going to receive or will take from him their tithes, and not those that he identified in his vow. The Gemara, Alma, from the fact that the Mishnah says that the woman who vowed Koinim Shaninen Lebrios, the husband cannot annul that vow, it shows us that there is no Inui Nefesh here. Why is there no Inui Nefesh? So when we presented the Mishnah, we might have been guilty of over-explaining things. But if you simply take this clause, the opening of the Mishnah, Kainim Shaninen Elebrios Eino Yochel Lahafer, the husband cannot annul that. And why not? Because it doesn't represent Inui Nefesh. Almo Efshu Demitzino Midilei. It must be because she can receive her sustenance from him, from the husband. So since she has a means of support, namely her husband, michlal, then this would show us debal lav bichlal briyosu. A woman's husband is not considered within the category of brios. Brios means mankind. So when the woman vowed not to benefit from mankind, that doesn't include her husband. Emo Seifa. Well, let's continue reading the Mishnah, and we read the Seifa. It said in the continuation of the Mishnah, V'yichilu lehenus b'leket shikopeya. The woman who had vowed not to benefit from mankind, she is entitled to take the leket shikopeya ties that are left in people's fields. Avol midaba lo achla. But she doesn't eat, she doesn't receive sustenance from her husband. In other words, according to this clause of the Mishnah, the woman's only option for support is collecting the leket shikompeya, but not from her husband. Alma ba'al b'chlal brios hu. And from this clause, one comes to an opposite conclusion, namely that the husband is included in the realm of brios, in the realm of mankind, concerning which her vow stated she is prohibited to benefit. If you focus simply on the dashed underlining, you see clearly the problem. The two lines up, you have ba'al lav b'chlal brios, and here we have ba'al b'chlal brios. We have answers to this. And on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, the triangle is presented, a series marking, Deos, in Baal, Bichlal, Brios, different opinions on this topic, whether or not the husband is considered a subcategory of Brios, regarding a woman who had vowed not to benefit from the Brios. Omar Ulo. So we continue in the Gemara with triangle number one. Li'oilon ba'al lav b'chlal brios hu. The husband really is not considered part of mankind. V'hachi kotani. And thusly, the Mishnah is meant to be understood. V'oid ein yochol lahofer. Mipnei shi'cholo lehenos b'leket shikha upeya. Not only can she benefit from the husband, but furthermore, she has another option of support, namely the leket shikhan peya. So that, as far as Ula is concerned, the Mishnah represents a stance that says the Baal is not included in the rest of mankind regarding the vow. Rava Omar, li'oilom Baal b'chlal brios hu. In fact, the husband is considered part of mankind, and she cannot benefit from the husband. Uma tam komar. And the Mishnah is offering an explanation, a built-in explanation. Ma tam ein yochel lahofer. Why is it that the husband cannot absolve the vow? Mipnei she yecholo lehenos b'lechet shichon peya, because she still has an option of support, namely the leket shikon peya, but not the husband. Rav Nachman Omar li'oilom ba'al lav b'chlal briosu v'hachi katani. Before we go further, we glance at the Rashi. Rav Nachman Omar li'oilom ba'al lav b'chlal brios v'ayde komar ein yochel lahofer. The Mishnah that says he cannot annul, it really means ein tzorach lahofer komar. He doesn't need to annul. Now, let's go back to the Gemara text. So Rav Nachman says the husband is really not considered part of the brios. Hence, the woman who vowed not to benefit from the brios, she's still allowed to benefit from her husband, and therefore there's no element of inui nefesh. V'hachi kotani, and the Mishnah is teaching us the following. Nisgarsha, when she, or if she gets divorced, and now upon being divorced the husband is bichlal brios, yecholo lehenos b'leket shikhal peyos, she still has a means of support, and that is through the leket shikhal peyos tithe. We continue at the top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Esve Rova l'Rav Nachman. U'ba'al lav b'chlal brios hu. Is that really so, that the husband is not considered part of the rest of mankind? V'atanan. We have a Mishnah, which we cited in our previous shiurim, and it's quoted later on. Netula ani min hayudim. A woman who vowed not to be part of the Jewish people. Now, what does that mean? Now, at first glance, she seems to be removing herself from benefiting from all the Jewish people. Yofer chelko v'teimah shamashtoi u'teinah netula min hayudim. The Mishnah says that the husband shall annul his portion, so to speak, and she is mishamashto. Mishamashto generally is a reference to intimacy, and as a result of his annulment, she can then have intimacy with him, but she remains prohibited to all other Jews. Ve'i amres, ba'al lav b'chal briosu, if you're going to say that the husband is not considered part of the brios, then what was she vowing? She was vowing, in effect, not... She wasn't vowing with regard to tashmish. She was vowing to prevent herself from something that otherwise she would be allowed to participate in or benefit from. So if you remove the husband from the picture on the grounds that ba'alav b'chal bris, so what was she vowing when she said netulani min yehudim? She was saying very simply, I prohibit myself from benefiting from all other Jews, all other kinds of benefits. She's not vowing not to have relations with them. She's prohibited anyway in having relations with them. She would have to, the nature of her vow would be a vow to prevent her from something that otherwise would be allowed. So if you remove the husband from the equation, what does netula ani min ayuda mean? It means that she vows not to benefit from all other Jews. Well then, nidrei inui nefesh hein. You're dealing then with a basic neder of inui nefesh, a woman who's not going to be able to benefit, not receive food from anybody, not receive services from anybody. That's going to lead to her suffering. V'yofer lo li'olam. And the husband should be able to annul the vow permanently. Why does the source indicate that, well, the husband annuls the vow, but she remains prohibited to the rest? So, with this in mind, it would appear then that the Baal is Bichlal Brios, and her vow was really a vow not to engage in intimacy, which otherwise she would have been allowed to do with her husband. And as we see in the source, the husband annuls that aspect, and she remains prohibited to everyone else. What's the main point, though? The main point in raising this question is that it must be that the Baal is Bichlal Brios. In order to appreciate this a little more, let's learn the Tosfos commentary together. We have a little star that we put in the Tosfos. The Isforim, the Garsi, we're looking at the Tosfos, as you see, about a quarter of the way or a third of the way down into his commentary. The Isforim, the Garsi, the Yamris Baal Lav Bichlal Briosu. There are those versions of Gemara that have this text, like we have, that if you say that the husband is not part of mankind, Netulah Min Yehudim Lav Tashmish Komra. The vow of Netulah Min Ayudim is not a reference to matters of intimacy. Sharei Asur B'Tashmisham below Nidra. She is anyway prohibited in intimacy with other people. You're dealing with a married woman. So if you're going to remove the husband from the realm of Brios, what was she vowing? Elohochi Komar. This is what she was saying. Netulah Hanasi Miperes Ehudim Shaloene Mehem Afki Lo Yehe Shelahem. I forswear benefiting from the fruits of all the Jews, that I will not benefit from them, even when it's not theirs. The im kain have inui nefesh, and if she's forswearing benefiting from fruits of all people, then that is inui nefesh. No, I'm reading shame parnasus elam imenu yofir. This we've seen before, that if a woman's means of accessing fruits is only from one person, then the husband can annul that vow. Dehal leko lemeimar de omra kinim nene min abrios. To suggest that her vow is an abstention of fruits only when she gets them from the other people, but not when her husband would get it for her. If that were the nature of her vow, then why should he be able to annul the vow when she's with him? If her vow was allowing her, was leaving the option of her benefiting from fruits the husband would get for her, so the husband shouldn't be able to annul that even on the grounds of Beino Leveino. Kevin Shiochala Ba'ala Havi Mimokam Shiyotze. And this is the Rabbeinu Yonah's explanation. The Yofer law Li Oilom Af Achar Shivishena. And being that if you're going to say the Baal is Lav B'chal Brios, Then, as we said, her vow was not to benefit from all fruits. Then why does the source indicate that once the husband annuls, she remains prohibited from other people, from benefiting from other people? Even after she's divorced, she should be allowed, based on the rules of Haforas Nedarim of Inui Nefesh. Elo Lav, rather, you have to conclude Baal Bechlal Briosu, that the husband is really part of mankind, B'chiyomra Netomin Yehudim, and when she vowed that language, that text of Netomin Yehudim, Mitashmish Komra, she was saying that she is prohibiting herself from intimacy. And what was she, in effect, prohibiting herself from? From intimacy with her husband, who otherwise would have been permitted. V'have beino leveino. That's a type of vow that we call beino leveino. So all of this having been said, we go back to the main point. In order to understand this Tanaic source, we would have to say that the Baal is Bichlal Brios, and her vow was a vow of abstaining from intimacy. Because otherwise, you would have had a case of abstention from fruits, and that would have been an Inui Nefesh vow, and it would have been an annulment that would have been permanent. But that's not what the source says. The Gemara responds. And here we have to just read in a few words before we read the Gemara text. And we've indicated this between the lines. We wrote in that a husband is really not Bichlal Brios. And in this case, we have to say that he is Bichlal Brios. And the Gemara text says, Shaini Hocha, this case is different. The Mukha Milsa, it's obvious that al hetero kosra nafsha, that when she vowed, she was vowing to prohibit herself from something that otherwise would have been allowed. Now, we continue in the Tosfos commentary, just to get some more clarification on this answer. Where we left off in the Tosfos, umeshani shaini hocha, this vow of netum and yodim is different. The mucha milsa, it's clear, the tera osra, the Torah prohibits her. V'chinami ba'alav v'chlal brios ba'almo. Even though regarding all other matters, the husband really is not considered part of mankind with regard to her vowing. Hocha havi b'chlal brios. Here, he is part of mankind. V'hochi mashma loshon netula. The text of netula is to be understood thusly. Netula mi ba'al u me hashar Yehudim. So that understanding netula mi Yehudim as yes referring to the issue of Tashmish, in this area you have to say that the Baal is included with the rest of the people, because of the fact that she's otherwise usher anyway to be with other people. She's a married lady. But regarding other matters, meaning non-intimacy type vows, the husband is not considered Bichlal Brios. And that, of course, is what Rav Nachman had concluded. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.